where would you like to start? This first little five-minute segment is just kind of a prelude to what's coming up. What do you want to cover here today?
Just God runs the world, and Jesus is the way and the life. And it's time to put Jesus first in the way that we run our businesses, the way we run our families, our businesses, and the way we run our country.
For radio listeners, we're on over 400 radio stations. They can't see you right now. This is a new look for you.
Oh, no, I've been wearing a mask for a while.
Ah.
Yeah.
So this is an archetypal example that the mask is off by putting the mask on.
People can take it how they want to take it.
We have one God, his name's Allah, Allah. And his final messenger's Muhammad, peace be upon him. This is our religion, Islam, Islam. This is the Deen Show.
I was explaining how much respect I have for the faith of Islam.
Ladies and gentlemen, Imam Qasim Khan here on The Deen Show. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How you doing, my
good,
dear brother?
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So how far is he from you? He said he's from Austin, Texas?
Austin is several hours from Houston.
Okay.
It's about maybe 4 hours, something like that.
So before we get into Kanye, how you been? How's everything with you,
Imam? Pretty good. Alhamdulillah, Allah treats me far better than I deserve to be treated. So for that, I praise him 24/7.
Alhamdulillah. That's beautiful. That we've been given an opportunity to do that. And I was thinking, just listening to Kanye, if he just took and replaced Jesus and just put God in place of Jesus, when he's talking about the more I'm obedient to God, the more I'm obedient to the Creator,
yes,
there'll be a shift there, but there'll be the right shift, just an adjustment, because he's talking about, you know, his love for Jesus seems like more than his love for the Creator.
Absolutely. You know, I have an innate respect for all people who are sincerely religious. Mm-hmm. And I'm hesitant to criticize in a negative way those who have a warped understanding of who God is and the presence of God. I really do believe, and if I can put the best construction on what I heard from Kanye West, I really do believe that he's basically just been misinformed, because he is under the impression that Jesus, peace be upon him, has all the power. He is under the impression that Jesus, peace be upon him, is the one who is supposed to be the object of our worship. And that's the impression that he has. So, whatever is taken, if he has a pious demeanor and a pious and righteous way of life, then obviously the only thing missing is him to have a correct understanding of the importance of the presence of God. And so he's been misinformed. I would really love the opportunity to properly inform him or to expose him to someone who can, because it's not so much that I'm impressed with his celebrity status. That doesn't impress me. Nor am I moved by his decision to keep his face covered. That doesn't move me one way or the other. But the words that he utters, people listen to because of his celebrity. Mm-hmm. You know, and there are some people who refuse to study. There's some people just don't study who are of the same opinion that he is that someone who is created by God should be the object of worship. You know, and so that's something that I think that needs to be corrected. And I do believe that the only reason he hasn't accepted Islam is simply because he just doesn't understand it. That's just got to be the only reason. Because anybody who truly takes the time to understand and internalize the true message of Islam will accept it. So that's why I don't criticize people who haven't accepted, because they just don't understand.
just like you, at one point you didn't understand. You were a Christian, right?
Absolutely. I mean, even when I thought that I had the true Islam, I didn't truly understand.
Then you went to the Nation.
When I went to the Nation of Islam, I thought that was the pure Islam. And there again, that's another reason why I don't even criticize those who are of that mindset, because they just don't understand. At some point, I didn't understand. And so I don't think that I could be, it would be productive for me to merely just spend time criticizing Kanye West or anybody else of that similar mindset and just spend time talking about how wrong he is. What I would like to do is pray for and focus on an opportunity to help him truly understand what Islam is about, and that actually, so because if he understands it, he will realize, as though many others should, that Islam actually is part of our nature. Mm-hmm. It's in the nature of every human being when we're born. Every person that's born on the face of this earth has a birthright to the understanding of the oneness of Almighty God.
That pure monotheism.
Pure monotheism.
You are exposed to, and inshallah, God willing, we can get Kanye West right now exposed to it. Even Alex Jones, who's hosting him on this show. You've heard of Alex. He's also over there in Texas. So we got a Texan over here, former Christian with the Nation, and now has submitted his will to the Creator of heavens and earth in Islam. That's what Islam means, to submit your will, like in the Lord's Prayer, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Or our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy will be done.
And it's amazing,
that's
too,
Islam,
that, that
right?
even in the, I used to love singing that song when I was a Christian. But even if they think about it, see, some people just don't stop and think, because the most popular prayer in the Christian faith is the Lord's Prayer. And when Jesus, peace be upon him, taught that Lord's Prayer to his disciples, his sahaba, for lack of a better term, yeah, that if you notice, that prayer begins in the plural and is non-possessive, because he didn't say my Father. Who are, he said, our Father,
yes,
which means that everyone who was created by God, and everyone was, is spiritually his children. We belong to him, you know, so he never claimed exclusive rights to God, you know, of for himself. He said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then further in the Bible, the part of the Bible that didn't get contaminated by King James, because he contaminated a good part of it, then he also acknowledged, Jesus, peace be upon him, he also acknowledged that those people who promote peace are actually God's children, because in the Beatitudes, he said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. So that's him speaking. That's not my words. You know, so if he would think about what he's actually saying, if he thinks about what he actually holds dear to him, which is words from the Bible, which he calls his book, then if you just stop and think about it for a minute, he'll realize that he's given the credit and the attention and the loyalty to the wrong entity. He's given it to a human being that was created by the God he should be worshiping. It's just that simple.
What would you tell Kanye right now if he's here, he's watching, he's listening, or if you had a chance to hook up with him in Texas, or Alex Jones for that matter, and now we're talking about this key figure, Jesus. What would you tell him about your relationship with Jesus now as a Muslim?
First thing I would do is what I've done in the past, because many Christian preachers have come to talk to me. Some of them have even accepted Islam because they ask me a rhetorical question, why don't you believe in Jesus? And I say, well, I love Jesus, peace be upon him, so much that in my religion, it's considered sacrilegious to keep mentioning his name without praying for him. I have to pray for him just to mention his name, even though the name that I use is incorrect, because his name wasn't Jesus. It's nowhere. That's not, it's not even Aramaic. It's not, that wasn't even the language he spoke.
Yeah.
You know, he never heard the word. But since I know that that's who we're referring to is the Christ, then I have to pray for him. I have to say, Jesus, peace be upon him, or Christ be upon him. And as a matter of fact, I would argue, if I want to admit, that when I was practicing Christianity, Eddie, that I was more in love with the name than I was in love with the person. And if you look at it now, if I was to call myself Yeshua and say, I'm changing my name to Yeshua, nobody would complain. If I was to change my name to Jesus, which is Spanish, no one would complain. If I changed my name to Isa, which is Arabic, no one will complain. But if I say I want to change my name to Jesus, many Christians will be in an uproar. They say, you can't call yourself Jesus. That's the Lord's name, because they're in love with the name. You know, but we're talking about the same person. However, the pure example of Jesus, peace be upon him, excuse me, is one that I as a Muslim hold dear. That's a beautiful example. Even though he wasn't the final prophet, but he was a major prophet, I hold dear, because there's things that he refused to do that I also refused to do. There's no record where Jesus, peace be upon him, took in intoxicants. Now, there's scriptures in the Bible that say he turned the water to wine, but it was not intoxicating wine. So he did not drink intoxicants. Jesus, peace be upon him, did not partake in tobacco. He didn't smoke. Peace be upon him. He didn't use drugs. Peace be upon him. He was very careful about how he dressed. He didn't wear revealing clothes. And even the record of how his mother dressed is how the Muslim women dress today. Loose fitting clothing, very, very modest. And he, just like that I try to do, invite people to God. That's my mission, and that was his mission. And so I try to follow the example, even though he's not the major focal point of my religion. Of course, the major focal point of my religion is Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. But also, I don't deny the beautiful example that this mighty prophet of God, Jesus, peace be upon him, or Isa ibn Maryam, Isa the son of Mary, projected to the world. So I don't understand how I even was, even when I look back on it, how I was even so attracted or so addicted to one human being. But when I realized that I hadn't internalized the fact that the God that created every human being and everything else that exists, this God was in place, who developed and originated the entire universe generations and generations before Jesus, peace be upon him, and all the prophets that even preceded him.
When you mentioned Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, who's a brother to Jesus, who's a brother to all the preceding messengers, Abraham, Noah, Moses, they all brought the same message, that pure monotheism, the Tawheed. It has me thinking about a hadith, a saying, an authentic saying from Prophet Muhammad, where he's describing a beautiful built house, brick house, mansion. And people are going around it, and there's just one brick missing there. And this thing is just so beautiful, but there's just one brick missing. He says, I am that brick. I'm the seal of the prophets. I'm the final messenger sent to mankind. This is all it is. It's not that Muslims worship Muhammad, but they are following his way of the teachings of Prophet Muhammad, just like Jesus at his time calling his people to worship God. Muhammad being the last and final messenger, is he a messenger also for Kanye West and Alex Jones?
He's a messenger for everyone.
For everyone.
You know, he's a messenger for everyone. And the thing about it is, I don't know why so many people who call themselves Christians, they deny parts of their own book. You know, I don't understand it. You know, I don't criticize them for it. That's the boat they want to float. But I don't criticize them for it, because Jesus, peace be upon him, told them in part of the Bible that was not contaminated by King James, in Matthew 5:17, he said, think not that I came to destroy the law or the prophets, but I came to fulfill. And so that should be a clear message. What's wrong with that? I mean, where is it? Where is the message being missed? You know, and I don't understand. That's the part that I don't get. I don't understand why it's so difficult to understand that Jesus, peace be upon him, brought a message of monotheism. He didn't direct anybody to worship him or his mother.
Trinity?
The Trinity, none of that. And matter of fact, as a Muslim, I have to believe that Isa ibn Maryam, or Jesus, the son of Mary, peace be upon him, is coming back. But he's not coming back to sing in a choir. He's not coming back to put up a Christmas tree. He's coming back to ask some serious questions that the people are going to have to answer. Who was it who told you to worship me and my mother instead of God? Because it wasn't me. Who told you to do it? Where'd you get that from? That's the question he's going to be asking. And they're going to have to answer that question. You know, if you ask them now, I asked that question during the latter part of my Christian life. And I was told, don't question the Bible. Don't question. Okay, I'll be quiet. But that's a serious question that needs to be answered.
very serious. And do you think that Alex Jones, you've heard of Alex Jones, right? He's from Texas there.
A little bit, yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of controversy around him. But we have in Islam love for everybody, for mankind, and that's why we're sharing this message. Do you think that Alex Jones now, he had an interview with the captain, no, the main guy, Louis Farrakhan. Mm-hmm. He had him on his show. Alex has a show, mm-hmm. and he had Louis Farrakhan on the show. So now he's probably thinking this is Islam, because he's having the person that now is representing the nation on his show. So how do you think it would go if he had you on the program versus having Louis Farrakhan on the program at that time and probably getting mixed messages, mixed signals?
Well, it's hard to be dogmatic, and I can only assume.
Yeah.
First of all, I would assume that...
Because you were a captain in the nation, right?
No, I was a minister.
Minister.
Yes, I didn't go all the way straight through the ranks, step by step.
So you're a minister in the nation. After leaving Christianity, you became a minister. So go ahead.
Yes. So my point is, I'm not 100% convinced that host that had invited Minister Farrakhan on this show, I'm not 100% convinced that he thinks that that's pure Islam. I'm not convinced that he did. Mm-hmm. You know, because people who are in the media, whether they're journalists, writers, or whatever, anchor people, they thrive off of sensationalism.
Yes.
You know, and so I'm not convinced. You know, I don't have any public criticism for Minister Farrakhan. That's the road that I traveled to get where I am now. You know, and I'm taught by the Quran to respect the womb that bore me. So that's the womb that bore me. That's the road that Almighty Allah chose for me to travel to get where I am now. That was his choice, not mine. Mm-hmm. And so that's the road I travel. But I'm not on that road anymore. Mm-hmm. You know. So if I was to be invited to be on that same show, I would just simply clarify. I wouldn't even have to criticize what everyone else believes. I would clarify what it is that I believe. I will clarify what I understand. I'll clarify my perception and my understanding of the purity of Islam, and let the chips fall where they may, because Islam confirms itself. Allah says in the Quran that truth knocks out falsehood's brains. You know, so Islam is so pure and so sensible that it's not necessary for me to spend any time criticizing others if I just tell what the truth is. Now, I can talk about what I used to believe, you know, and if people want to perceive that as being criticized as being critical, then that's the boat they want to float, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. You know, but I used to believe the things that I'm hearing now. I actually, Brother Eddie, I have an edge over the Christians, because I know more about Christianity than they know about Islam, you know. So that's an edge. It's nothing to boast about. It's just that I can understand where they're coming from, you know, when they say that. But realizing after practicing Islam for about 50 years, realizing how sensible it is to see that there can only possibly be just one God, and that everything else in creation was actually created by him. And so nothing else could be worthy of worship except the one who created everything. And that's basic common sense. That's basic common sense 101.
Yeah, very common sense. But it's a shame common sense is not common practice. And you mentioned earlier about alcohol and many of these vices that are people dealing with, nicotine, smoking, and drugs, right, and everything. And Alex Jones, he's recently came out also talking about the effect that the alcoholism affecting his life for the negative. But Islam, you know, solves all those problems. It has you a clear path, because it's kind of ambiguous in the Bible, you know. It's a lot of times, a lot of things are clear, but people have all these different opinions. So it's like, you know, people, there's not a clear roadmap as defined in Islam. There are certain things that are just clear. Alcohol is forbidden. Gambling is forbidden. There's no way if or what about, right, it. But on the other side over here, it's like people are just like, make up things as you go. Did you notice that when you back?
Because people have a tendency to look for some way to justify their own weakness. Mm-hmm. You know, they want to justify their own weakness by claiming that, well, and this is the phrase they use that doesn't really connect with me. They said, They say Jesus died to save the world from sin.
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to figure out which sin did he die to save the world from? Because if he died to save the world from sin and people are still sinning, you know, then which one did he actually die from? It doesn't make sense to me, you know, because if Jesus, peace be upon him, since he had a beautiful example of piety and righteousness, and that's what he projected, then the things that he did to help promote the oneness of Almighty God and the worship and the direction to that God, the things that he did seems to be misconstrued by those who claim to follow him. And they're really confusing their own selves. That's the way that I see it.
Yeah. A lot of people like that Kanye West, who I don't listen to. I mean, obviously, we don't promote Kanye West, but we're trying to, out of love, you see a person falling apart right in front of you, and you want to give them the antidote and the solution to all their problems and help them. Like you said, people don't know. They don't understand. So we're trying to deliver this message to Kanye West. Inshallah, God willing, he gets this. And even Alex Jones, because the solution to their problems and the message is for everybody, Islam, submission to the creator, not the creation. So this thing that he exposes a lot of times, Kanye, is the corruption, which is self-evident in Hollywood and in the industry there, you know, all of the corruption that's in there. So it's refreshing for a lot of people to see someone who's in that industry speaking against the industry, but they're still in the industry.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, well... That's kind of like what Malcolm said, you know, the chicken's coming home to roost, you know, because basically, when it comes home to bite you, and you realize, and you don't even see your own contradiction, you know, people contradict themselves. Sadly, even in Islam, there are Muslims that have a tendency to contradict themselves, you know. But right now, we can see very, very clear contradictions. If someone says, I'm a Christian, and I asked a Christian, what's the definition of Christianity? And they said, to be Christ-like. Well, then I asked the question, well, then ask yourself, what was Christ like? You know, the only reason why I even spend the time to even mention people like Alex Jones and Kanye West and even some others, Snoop Dogg and all the others, is because they're in the news, you know. And since they're in the news and people have a tendency to be attracted to what's in the media and be moved and by the media, and the media is nothing but a demagogue, then I bring up things to make them think about what they're spending their time with.
Yeah.
You know, so the media wants to promote something, because the media, since I was a journalist, I wrote for several newspapers, and I used to thrive on sensationalism. If something wasn't sensational, you know, if it wasn't negative enough, you know, then I wasn't attracted to it. And that's what the media does, you know. So we can look at what is happening in the world today, and we notice that there is wars going on all around the world. There is people starving and hungry. There's people that are billionaires that if they were to practice the institute the practice of just zakat in Islam, if the institution of zakat was practiced worldwide, there will be no hunger.
Yes.
There will be no starving, no starvation, no nothing, because the billionaires will have to give 2.5% of what's left over after they pay their expenses. And that would take care of everybody. But that's too much like right. You know, so Islam is too much like right for some people. You know, and so they're addicted to and attracted to something that seems tempting to them. And something that will give them the license, for lack of a better term, to continue to do the things that they're weak for. And that's what Islamophobia, I would argue that Islamophobia is not limited to people who haven't accepted Islam. Because phobia means to be afraid of something. There are people who are afraid of their own religion. There's people who are afraid to leave and step away from things that they're addicted to. There's people that just can't handle the truth about themselves. And so they look for something that will allow them the flexibility and the latitude to continue to practice the things that are wrong that they're just addicted to. And they want something that's going to justify their weakness. And so if Islam doesn't justify the weakness, I have a friend that I grew up with in the Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania area. And I asked him, and he said, I love your message of Islam. Matter of fact, he watched one of my Dean Show episodes over and over again. He almost memorized it. The one where I was on the show with you, we talked about Snoop Dogg at joining the nation. He said if you'd have gave that message while we was growing up, everybody in our hometown would have been Muslim. I said, what's stopping you now, buddy?
Yeah.
You know, what's stopping you now from accepting Islam? I said, is there anything about Islam you disagree with? He said, no. I said, well, is there anything about Islam you don't understand? He said, no. He said, then tell me, why haven't you accepted Islam? I was trying to open the door for da'wah. And he said, to be honest with you, I don't believe I have the discipline to do what being a Muslim requires. And I respected that. Now these people that get on to try to lamb blast Islam or try to shoot it down or try to say we're all terrorists and we're violent and all of that stuff, you know, just be honest. You know, they say that I love Jesus. You don't love Jesus, peace be upon him. If you really love Jesus, peace be upon him, you would live your life the way that he lived his life. You know, if you really loved him, if you loved him, you would pray for him like I do every time his name is mentioned. If you loved him, you wear more modest clothes. If you loved him, you would eat the same diet that he ate. If you love him so much, in Judaism, the Orthodox Jews, they pray in the language that Musa, peace be upon him, prayed in, right? In Islam, the Muslims pray in the language that Muhammad prayed in, peace be upon him, right? But Christianity, Isa ibn Maryam, or Jesus, peace be upon him, he spoke Aramaic and he prayed in Aramaic. I haven't met, there might be somewhere on the planet Earth, I haven't met one Christian that prays in Aramaic, you know, if that's the focal point. But never mind the language. How about living the life that this person who you say is so important to you, like he lived? You know, why, what's your problem? Why do you continue to eat pork? You know, well, that's an old Mosaic law that Jesus did away with. That's not true. I just quoted Matthew 5:17. Yeah. He said he didn't do away with the law. Do what he did. My family, my wife, and my granddaughter that I'm raising, they dress exactly the way the pictures of Maryam, the mother of Jesus, peace be upon her and him, dressed. You know, and so we have to really be honest with ourselves. I would challenge not only Kanye West, but other people. They don't have to be celebrities. I would challenge anyone, if you say you believe in someone, if you say you love someone, if you say that you respect someone, if you say you honor someone, you know, and if you say all of that from your mouth, then why don't you live the way that person lived? At least do that. If you want to be wrong about whether or not he should be worshipped, be wrong about that. But at least be right about something. That's the way I see it. Now, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But I'm waiting for somebody to correct me.
That's deep. I like what you said. You asked him, so what don't you like about Islam? And he was honest, because any sincere person that looks into Islam, I mean, the message is really straightforward, lucid and clear. You know, all of the different things, the moral code, it just goes to the fitrah, the innate nature. It makes sense for anyone who wants to get close to God. It's just really common sense. A lot of the things are there. But even if this person is not so disciplined, they can still accept Islam and get disciplined. It takes some effort and time, like anything. But if you value something, if you value your life and you want to have a better life, you want to become closer to your creator, do you love your desires more? You love your creator. So you're going to go ahead. Islam doesn't, you know, have you just become perfect overnight. It helps you to become a better human being by implementing the injunctions and everything there that's there to help you to grow. But a lot of people, they maybe have that misconception.
That's an excellent point. That's an excellent point that you brought up, and that is that if you really believe that there's nothing in the religion that you disagree with, you know, and this is what I tell people. We give many, many people shahada. Many people come to our masjid in Houston, Texas, and they accept Islam. And we tell them, there's only one thing that you're obligated to change right away, and that is your perception or your respect for the presence of God in your life. Because once you change that perception and understand that he is most important, then all your decisions are going to fall in place. Because everything that you do, you'll be doing because you want to please him.
Yes.
So maybe you have trouble quitting smoking. Maybe you have trouble drinking. Maybe you have trouble even fornicating. Whatever you do. Whatever you have trouble doing, if you just think for a minute that you have to please this mighty God, then all of these things that you're doing that God forbids, you'll start changing them on your own because you want to please this God. So it's not necessary for me to micromanage your life and nitpick your life and tell you got to quit this, you got to quit that, you can't do this, you can't eat that. It's not necessary for me to do all of that. All I need to do is make sure you understand that once you say there's no God but Allah, Muhammad is the messenger of God, once you say that, then your obligation falls on you to internalize that and make all your decisions to reflect your belief in the fact that this God sees you, he's with you, he's recording and seeing everything that you say and do, and you must please him. So then you just ask yourself, is what I'm going to eat pleasing to this God? Is what I'm going to wear pleasing to this God? Is what I'm going to say to people, is what I'm going to watch on TV, is it all going to be pleasing to God? You ask yourself that simple, honest question. That's why I respect my friend down in Pittsburgh. You know, I'm still trying to encourage him to accept Islam before he dies, the same age that I am. But I respect his honest answer. He didn't try to make excuses. He said, well, I don't believe I have the discipline. I said, well, you can't get it right away. Only thing that you have to discipline yourself to do is make up your mind that this is the God that you want to try to please with whatever you do.
Yeah, and it's amazing just these signs are. It's like when people wake up to this reality and they just, you know, when their heart is open, their mind is open, they were sincere like yourself. Obviously, you were seeking to know the truth as a Christian and you didn't find it there in the Trinity or all these misconceptions about Jesus. It didn't make sense. The contradictions you saw through it went to the nation. That didn't add up. Then you came to the pure monotheism of Islam, the actual real Islam, according to the Quran, the verbatim word of God, and the Sunnah, the way of the last and final messenger sent to mankind. And now you're a Muslim, one who submitted his or her will. And talking to people, like if you talk to Kanye, Alex Jones, any other people, the average John Joe, whoever's out there, and someone who brings up Jesus and they just compare, like you mentioned some things like Jesus, peace be upon him, we pray like him, real common sense. This is just basic knowledge for every Muslim. We pray like Jesus, putting your face on the ground. That's how Muslims pray. You mentioned his mother, right? Your wife, you know, the Muslim woman, imitate Mary, the mother of Jesus. They pray to the God of Jesus. They don't eat pork like Jesus. They were circumcised like Jesus. They greet like Jesus. Salam alaikum, shalom alaikum, peace be with you. And the list goes on.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, if those are not enough signs by themselves, without even getting into the miracle of the Quran, the authenticity of the Quran, all of the proofs and evidences that the Quran has, it's a living miracle today. Just these small little sample signs, these things that we just threw out there, it's like, wow. But you got to be like, your mind and heart got to be open, no?
And yes, our heart has, but also the ball is in the court of the Muslims who understand this religion. What I mean by that is we have a responsibility and a duty to give da'wah. You know, that's our responsibility.
Yeah.
And Allah in the Quran, he addresses humanity as the children of Adam. He said, O Bani Adam, Ya Bani Adam. The children of Adam. Who is he talking to? He's not just talking to Muslims. He is talking to everyone on planet Earth who is a descendant of Adam and Eve, right? So that makes everyone brothers and sisters. They may not be brothers and sisters in the faith, but nonetheless, in the eyes of Allah, we're brothers and sisters. Now that means that we have an obligation to them to give them da'wah, to make them understand, right? Okay, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, he said, "La yu'minuna haddakum hatta yuhibbul akhiy ma yubila nafsihi." Not one of you is a believer till you love for your brother what you love for your own self. So the responsibility and the weight is on the shoulders of the Muslims. Do we love our brothers in humanity? What do you love for yourself? Ask yourself that question. Do we love Islam? Do I love Islam for myself? Am I happy to be Muslim? Am I happy to be one who is striving to get to paradise? Excuse me. Am I happy to be fasting in Ramadan? Happy to approach the five daily prayers? Happy to go to Mecca? Is this make me happy? That means that if this what I want for myself, I should want that for my brothers and sisters. And that means that I have an obligation to give them da'wah. I have obligation to look for opportunities to give da'wah. One of my mentors, Imam Siraj Wahaj. He made a very prophetic statement. I'm not saying he's a prophet. Don't get me on Facebook talking about. I said he made a prophetic statement. He said, never miss a dawah moment. You know, so that's our job. That's our responsibility. That's our duty. Allah says in the Quran, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu awfilu qud. Oh, you believe, fulfill all of your obligations. So that's our obligation to give dawah. Now, that means we have to create opportunities or develop, I should say, opportunities to give dawah. And dawah, and the definition of dawah, one might say, is an educational invitation. That's an invitation. That means that we should always look for opportunities or develop opportunities to give dawah to make people understand the beauty of Islam. Not just to argue, not to be combative, not to try to show somebody how wrong they are, but give them a clear understanding of this deen. That is our duty. That is our obligation. And that's why every opportunity that we have to present Islam in the communities all over America and even in many places outside of America, many, many churches are closing down and they're becoming masajid. And one beautiful example just recently happened down in Florida. There is a mega area that was a mega church, and now it has an opportunity to become a dean center.
This is your brother Hamza Andreas Dzorzis, and I want every single one of you to support Eddie from The Dean Show financially and otherwise. But in what way? I want you to support his new project, The Dean Center. It's going to be a transformative experience, this center. Why? Because it's going to be a masjid, it's going to be a place of worship, it's also going to have fitness facilities, and it's also going to be a dawah center to call people back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Muslims and non-Muslims. And we trust Eddie completely. I, for one, will take 1,000 bullets for Eddie. He has a vision. He has more than 15 years of experience in the dawah. He's had a huge success with The Dean Show. And he has the support of many du'at and preachers and scholars from all around the world. It's going to be an amazing project for everybody. Go to thedeancenter.org. Donate now.
A major dean center. Now, what is this going to do for humanity? It's not only an opportunity, it's a sign. Allah says, what in the Quran? Surely this is a sign for those who reflect. It's a beautiful sign. It's a great opportunity for the Muslims to show how important and demonstrate how important it is to take dawah to another level. This is the new millennium. So we should be looking for opportunities to let the world see, put it on a huge stage, not to be stuck in some little corner in the backwoods in the suburbs somewhere where nobody can hear it, you know, but on the world stage in a beautiful complex, a major facility, a multi-purpose facility like that facility that we're putting together down in Florida, the Dean Center. That's a major, major responsibility and a duty for all the Muslims to do whatever we can to get that open, and it will become an example to catapult the rest of the world into seeing maybe we need to do this too. So instead of seeing a church on every corner, there should be a masjid or a dawah center in every place that we could possibly put it, not to try to proselytize everybody, but just to educate everybody. This is an educational invitation to let the people see the beauty of Islam, and it actually is part of their nature, because Muslim means one who has the nature to submit to the will of the one God. Those who call themselves Muslim are those who submit to that nature. Say, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to submit to this one God, and I should call everybody else to submit to this one God.
Beautiful, beautiful. Alhamdulillah, it was always nice having you on the program. I really thank you for sharing that with us and giving that beautiful advice.
It's my pleasure, Eddie. SubhanAllah, my pleasure. And as we conclude, in the spirit of Assalamu Alaikum, if you notice, that's plural. That means I'm obligated to want the peace from God to be extended upon you and everyone who's connected to you, even those I can't see. There's people who we don't come in contact with, people who we will never see, that will be impacted by the opening of the Dean Center. Once we get it done, I emphasize we. Once we get it done, people need to understand the impact on the world and how much better off this world would be if we have more of those, inshallah.
Absolutely. It's an Ummah project, and you heard the Sheikh, that we're going to try to make this a reality, opening up the first mega dawah center in the United States of America here to extend that educational invitation, because if you care, you share, and we're sharing. So go ahead and make sure you tune in here and support the Dean Center. We'll see you next time. Thank you, Sheikh. Always, as always, Jazakallah khair. And thank you guys for tuning in. Subscribe if you haven't already. And make sure you visit the Dean Show to get your free copy of the Quran if you want to really know what these Muslims are talking about. And is there room for you? Absolutely there is. If you believe that there's only one God worthy of worship, you don't want to worship your desires, the creation, a man, a monkey, a stick, a stone, a bone, you want to worship the one who created you, then Islam is right for you. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum. I cannot leave without giving you a gift. If you're not yet Muslim and you're tuning in to see what these Muslims are talking about and you like a free copy of the Quran, go ahead and visit thedeanshow.com. We'll take care of the postage and everything and get it delivered to you. And if you still have some questions about Islam, call us at 1-800-662-4752. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum. And if you like this episode of The Dean Show, like this video, share this video far and wide, and support us on our Patreon page so we can continue this work. Thank you for tuning in. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.